Dear Christian friends, the title of our sermon this morning is Depends on Your Perspective. Perspective is defined in the dictionary as the art of drawing solid objects on a two-dimensional surface so as to give the right impression of their height, width, depth, and position in relation to each other when viewed from a particular point, or a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something, a point of view. The first artist that drew in perspective was Filippo Brunelleschi, a Florentine artist in 1415. What he did was he drew or painted the entrance to a baptistry behind some men that were standing. But what he did was he drew the baptistry entrance much smaller than the men that you saw up front, giving the impression of depth, because we know that things far away are smaller than when they are close to us. Now, I can see that some of you are not big fans of grammar or art, and maybe I have already lost you in this introduction, but I will try to bring you back. The gospel lesson for this Sunday tells us about Jesus speaking to Pharisees. Now, up to this point in Luke, we've run into the Pharisees quite a bit, but the Sadducees are kind of a new group. This is the first time we run into them. Who were they? Well, they were a group within Judaism. Their members were from the tribe of Levi because they were priests in the temple. And the temple was their main business, their main concern in life. They were born into the position. And they had a very narrow view of what the Bible was. If you ask them what the Bible was, they would say, the first five books of Moses, the Torah, the law of God. And the Pharisees accepted that as well, but they also said that the Bible were the prophets that came along during various ages. But the Sadducees rejected that idea. No, it's just the first five books of the Bible. And because of that point of view, that perspective, the Pharisees believed in a resurrection of the dead, that there would be life after death, as the prophets, many of them, were on record of speaking, like Isaiah and Ezekiel and so forth. But the Sadducees, because they only believed that the Bible was the first five books of the Old Testament, they rejected the idea of a resurrection. When you're dead, you're dead. That's it. Nothing happens to you afterwards. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees argued. And the Sadducees noted that Jesus also spoke about the resurrection, so they decided to pose a tricky question to see what Jesus had to say. Now, the Sadducees come up with this, actually a very silly story. You heard it read. And if you're paying attention, you must have wondered, what in the world is he talking about? Seven brothers marrying the same woman? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But the Sadducees practiced a Levirate marriage. It's found in Deuteronomy 25, one of the books of Moses. Deuteronomy 25, 5 to 10. And simply what it was a law that God had given to the Israelites in order to provide for widows. Not all widows, but some widows. In other words, when a man married, and if he died before he had any children, his brother had the obligation to marry the widow and to have children with her. And the whole point was, well, there was two points. The whole point was, number one, that his name would continue in Israel because he had descendants. And the other point was to provide for this widow because, dear friends, a widow in those days just didn't have too much to count on. If you didn't have a son to take care of you, nobody did. So this was a kindly way to take care of widows. You know, this is the day before Social Security and ownership of property and life insurance, all those safety nets that we count on today. They did not exist. And so from that practice, which was a kindly thing that God had arranged for certain widows, the Sadducees had spun off this ridiculous story in order to prove that the resurrection couldn't possibly exist. And that's what they pose before Jesus. Now, they pose the question, now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Now I'm going to take a little time out and share with you a couple of wonders I have. Number one, when it says that after marrying those seven men, one right after another, it says she died. I would think so. Poor woman. And the other thing that I've wondered, what did brother number five think when his turn came up to marry this very unfortunate widow who seems to have a problem keeping husbands alive? And brother six, and brother seven, he must have felt doomed. Okay, we get back to the reading. Jesus' response was very patient. He tells them that marriage was designed by God for a purpose. And that purpose was that so the human race could procreate. Because while we are here on earth, every single human being dies. And if there was no way of replacing them, we would wither and die and no longer exist. So God made this happen that they were provided for. So Jesus said, we have marriage here on earth to have children. But in heaven, you don't need that. Because no one dies in heaven. You don't need to procreate. And then he says, and they are like angels, those who are in heaven. Now, time out here. I want to make sure that you're not going to make the mistake of saying, oh, yeah. Clarence in It's a Wonderful Life, he was trying to get his wings. No. When we are in heaven, we may be like the angels because we will not die, but we're not trying to earn our wings, okay? Let's keep that straight. But Jesus doesn't rely just on logic. He could have quoted many of the prophets who spoke about a life after death, but he knew that the Sadducees rejected them. So he goes right to the source. He goes right to the book of Moses from Exodus chapter 3. We heard it read by Greg this morning. And Jesus makes the point that God says, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And God is not the God of the dead. When God was saying these things to Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had lived hundreds of years before. God is saying they are alive. They are here as they are alive even today. Those who are in glory shining are enjoying life everlasting. Now, what's the application here? What's the point of this for us? I know many of you, probably every one of you, maybe couple of the younger ones here haven't had this experience, but every one of us have had a dear one pass away. And we mourn for them, we grieve over them. And sometimes in our thoughts, we wonder, what are they doing? Now, if they were buried, we can go to the cemetery, we can stand by the grave, we can put some flowers there, and we can remember them. The body is there. But what if their mind, their heart, their soul, their spirit, what happens to that? Does it just fade away like the breath of a wind passing by? What about them? Our hope is in the Word of God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are alive, those in Christ. 1 John 5:11 to 13. And this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do we grieve for those that we loved that have passed away? Yes, we do. That's part of our human nature. And when our thoughts turn to them, wondering what they are doing, what surroundings occupy them, all we can do is think in earthly terms, because that's all the experience we have. We get little glimpses in Scripture that those who are in glory shine with God. It doesn't really explain a whole lot to us. It doesn't really say a whole lot to us. Frankly, I suspect that God doesn't give us the full agenda of a time in heaven because somebody would find a problem with it. The most common problem is, for all eternity, I'll be in heaven praising God. I can hardly get through 1 hour of worship. All eternity? You see, that's kind of our human nature. We can always be critical. God isn't interested in our criticism. God is interested in providing hope for us. And that hope is to know that those that you love and those who love the name of the Lord are with the Lord forever, alive. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. So if it's a comfort to you and you're thinking about the one that you loved, whether he was George or Mary, Richard or Jane, think of the phrase, I am the God of Richard, Mary, Joe, Alice, and they are with God forever. Join me in prayer. Lord, help me entrust the people I love into your hands while they live and when they die. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise as we confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed.